Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Are you ready for the word today? I hope you are. We're kicking off a new series called Joy to the World, experiencing God's joy in every season. I'd like to know, is there anyone here who wants a little less joy? Because you've just had too much, and so you're just saying, Lord, turn it down a notch. I don't want as much joy. I want a little less. No, of course not. We'd all like some more joy in our lives. Our text this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, starting at verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 3. It's in your bulletin, and it reads, I am the true vine. This is Jesus talking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come to your word. We're ready for your word. We're listening, and we're ready to act on it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Has anyone ever told you to grow up? Grow up. did it make you feel encouraged? Probably not. Probably made you feel like a pile of dirt, right? Grow up. Could be a parent or relative or friend. When they tell us we need to grow up and mature, it was more likely than not an exciting conversation. It was usually pretty deflating, wasn't it? Or discouraging. You know the phrases, why can't you be more responsible? Or you need to apply yourself. Or why can't you be a little more like your big brother or big sister? You never heard that yet. Yeah, you never. Or you're too old for that. Or here's a good one. Don't you think you ought to know what you want to do with your life by now? You need to get an education. You need to get a job. You need to be a better father, better mother. We've all heard this before at some point. And then we come to church and the preacher says, it's time to grow up. And you kind of go, oh, don't look at me. Please don't look at me. Because when people challenge us to grow, too many times it can be laced with criticism. Right? When someone tells you need to grow up, they're not trying to edify you. It's a subtle way of criticizing you, saying that it's not good to be where you are right now. You need to grow up. And so when God challenges us to grow, we think that God is also being critical of us because of our experience with others telling us we need to grow, right? And this is one of the reasons why sometimes we have negative feelings about growing in Christ. Sometimes we have negative feelings about growing in Christ. Sometimes we can get defensive or start to feel negative when we're challenged to grow. We start thinking more about what's wrong with us rather than where we're going toward instead of moving forward. We can start condemning ourselves for not being better than what we are because, again, we think that God is being critical of us. What's wrong with me? You know, and this kind of thinking, it kills your joy. It puts a damper on your relationship with God, and it slows down the process of transformation and blessing that God wants for your life because you're more focused on the negative of what you're not rather than the positive of what God's called you to be. Oh, yeah, amen. That's an amen right there. Sometimes we associate growing in Christ with being like other people. Yeah, sometimes we think growing in Christ means being more like sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so over there who we think is so perfect and has it all together. You don't have to admit it. It's okay. Just keep looking straight. Now, there's nothing wrong with having mentors, having people that you admire and respect in your life. But sometimes we can take the positive of having someone in our lives we respect, even if it's from a distance. You might admire them from a distance. But if we're not careful, it can become a game of comparison, comparing ourselves with other people. And that's a battle that you just can never, ever win, which is why Paul often discourages God's people from comparing themselves with each other. If you look at Galatians 6:4 or 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he talks about comparing yourselves with one another is not wise. Okay, because when we start associating our growth with being like someone else, it can create discouragement. Oh, I'll never be as good as them, or I'll never be as gifted as them, or God could never use me like that. Right? Or we start to feel the stress or pressure of having to live up to what we think we ought to be, trying to live up to a concept of success that we've defined in what God is doing in someone else's life rather than what God is doing in our lives. And so comparing yourself, associating growth with comparing yourself with others can be very stressful and just not a lot of fun. It can drive you crazy, to be honest. And sometimes we associate growing in Christ with chores. I hated chores growing up. I always had to do the dishes after meals, take out the trash, cut the grass. And some people like doing these things, you know. Not me. I'd never liked it. But it was a duty. It was my responsibility. It was something that my parents expected me to do. And so I did it. And sometimes we bring that same attitude into our walk with God. You know, when it comes to growing in Christ, we treat it like a chore. We treat it like a duty, like it's a list of things that we have to do because that's what God expects me to do and that's the right thing to do. You know, I should read more. I should pray more. I should give more. I should serve more because that's the right thing to do. And before long, you know, your entire walk with God becomes a list of do's and don'ts. And your relationship with Christ becomes measured by checking things off a list rather than experiencing transformation through God's presence. Uh-huh. And your walk can actually become, your walk with God can become stale and cold and dry. And that's never fun. It becomes a lot more of routine than of spiritual encounter. It's a lot more of habit, but not a lot of transformation and experiencing God's presence. And that joy you used to have in your salvation somehow is lost. But you know what? God does not want that for you. And I don't want it for you either. Because if you're carrying around a bunch of negative feelings about personal growth, then you're going to be in a tough position. Because you know what? God is always going to challenge you to grow. So if we have a lot of negative feelings about growing, we're in a tough spot because God will always challenge us to grow. That's why when it comes to personal growth, God doesn't want us to be in secret competitions with people in our minds. God doesn't want us trying to live up to other people's expectations. God doesn't want us to have a spirit of self-criticism, you know, in the negative sense, associating growth with being criticized or our growth with a chore, being a chore. God wants us to experience growth the way he intended it. Amen. And this is important, so important, because your experience of growth will be a defining aspect of your experience walking with God. Because, again, God is always challenging us to grow, so the way you experience personal growth will be a defining aspect of your experience walking with the Lord. All right, so I want us to talk about experiencing growth the way God intended. Now, Jesus, we know, was very upfront with his disciples in that God was passionate about their growth. Right? He said, I am the vine, my Father's the gardener. Any branch that doesn't bear fruit, he cuts off. Any branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it bears even more. All right? Even if you're growing, I want you to grow more. I want to get the most out of you that I can. Could you show? There's a, I got a picture up here for you. So this is a grapevine. And there's a whole lot of different ways to prune a grapevine. Okay? This particular diagram is about spur pruning, but here's what I'm going to show you. So the vine, now they use different terminology today than they did 2,000 years ago, but this thick part here that goes up and kind of branches out both ways, that's the vine, okay? And these smaller ones that are kind of going way up, those are the branches. Today they call them canes, but those are what they used to call the branches. And if you don't cut them, they get longer and longer and longer. They don't stop growing. They get a lot of leaves and foliage. And it prevents the grapes and the fruit that's growing on them from growing to maximum capacity because all the energy is being used up in this long, long, long branch with all these leaves and everything. So every year, the gardener will cut those branches short to make room for them to grow again. Now, sometimes if a gardener comes back after a year and those long, long branches are really short, it means that the branch did not grow. It didn't bear fruit, so he just cuts it completely off. All right, but the ones that do and that are very long, he cuts them short. Okay, now, here's the thing about this teaching, right? And this is what Jesus is talking about. He said, if you bear fruit, my Father is going to prune you through my word so that you bear more fruit, so that you grow. Now, I want to show you what the significance of this, if we could go to the scripture here. All right, so after Jesus gets through talking about all this stuff with the vine and the branches and abiding in me, he says this. He says, I have said these things about the vine and the branches and abiding in me and getting pruned so that you bear more fruit. I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is what he says at the end. Here's the one thing you got to know. Your growth is supposed to be rewarding. Growing is supposed to be rewarding. Growing is supposed to be rewarding. This is something that is supposed to lead to joy. All right? Now, Jesus loves being a vine. Because he wants us to share in his joy. Jesus loves being a vine. Jesus loves being the source of life, giving life to others, being a blessing to others. Jesus loves this. He enjoys it. And he says, when you bear fruit, you have the chance to share in my joy, to share in my delight of giving life to other people. All right? And this is so critical. Because it changes our whole concept of what is on God's mind when God challenges us to grow. Now, before we get into that, I want us to talk about, well, what does it mean to grow? All right, growing and bearing fruit isn't about what you know. It's about what you do. Right? Growing is not about what you know. It's about what you do. When a branch bears fruit, the fruit is never for the branch. It's always for something or someone else, right? So growing is when we're doing things for others. That's what real growth is, which is why James tells us, you know, be doers of the word and not hearers only, because you think you're growing, but you're not. Okay, because we get all the knowledge and our heads expand, but if we don't do anything with it, we're not growing. Okay, so growing is doing something with what you know. All right, and this is supposed to be rewarding. All right, why? Why is this? Okay, the challenge for you to grow as a person, as a parent, as a professional, is not meant to make you feel inadequate. It's not meant to make you feel less than or not good enough. Okay, it's meant to give you positive expectations for what is yet to come. Okay, so what I want you to do is, when God challenges you to grow, all right, I want you to embrace it as an opportunity to experience more joy. Because that's what this is basically about. It's about having more opportunities to experience joy. So when God taps you on the shoulder about, you know, being a little bit more patient with the kids, or being a little more honest in the workplace, or being a little more forgiving with your spouse, or whatever it is, okay, what's on God's mind is your joy. Not hitting you over the head, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, oh my goodness, man, I'm not patient enough, I'm not kind enough, I'm not forgiving enough, man, I'll never get there, I'm so horrible. No. He taps you on the shoulder and says, son, daughter, I want you to be a little more kind. I want you to give a little more. I want you to serve a little more. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to experience the joy of giving life and blessing to other people. You see the difference? So when I'm convicted about something I've done wrong, it's another opportunity to experience more joy. When I'm convicted, when I've done something wrong, and I feel the tug of the Holy Spirit saying, son, you need to do better, it's not God saying, you need to grow up. You need to get yourself together. Why can't you be a little more like your big brother? No, he's saying, there's joy I want you to experience when you give life to others. Okay, so every area of growth is another opportunity for me to experience joy. Okay, when God challenged, like, let me give you an example. I remember when I was in school and the Lord was really dealing with me about my prayer life. Like, I needed to pray. I needed to pray more. You know, and here comes the duty mindset. I need to pray more. I need to give God my everything, so I need to pray more. You know, that duty mindset kicking in. Time passes, you know, and I'm praying more, and time passes. And there's a friend that I have, and, you know, we played sports together. We, you know, played table tennis together. We watched sports games together. We hung out, we had a good time, went out to eat and stuff like that. We were good friends. But we never really prayed together a lot. He was a believer, but we never really prayed together a lot. One day, we're in the dorm, we're praying, all right, together. And something happens. I turn to him and I say, buddy, I don't know what this means. But I just feel like the Lord wants me to tell you that he gave you two lungs for a reason. I said, I have no idea what this means. I might have ate something last night and I'm just being crazy. But I just feel like the Lord wants me to tell you he gave you two lungs for a reason. And he looked at me like he saw a ghost. And he began to open up to me about how he had been struggling with smoking. I had no idea. Because, you know, sometimes if somebody smokes, you smell it on. But I had no idea. And we had never talked about it before, but he knew that that was an area of his life where the Lord was really, really working on him. And it was a turning point for him. And God eventually called him to preach. And he's a pastor now. And he comes back and he tells me that moment was a turning point in my life. You see, now when God was telling me to pray more, he wasn't telling me to pray more so that I could be a better Christian and I could tell people I pray for this amount of time every day. And yeah, I can, you know, and I can take my prayer time to God and say, God, I really pleased you because I prayed for this long. No, God was trying to give me an opportunity to experience the joy of changing somebody's life. Because I had spent the time in prayer, I was more sensitive to the leading of God's Spirit, and now I was available to be used by God to bless somebody else. Amen. Amen. And let me tell you, we think we know in our society, we think we know what will give us joy. Yeah. But there is no greater joy than being used by God to impact somebody's life, to change somebody's life, all right, to be an instrument in the hands of God. There is no greater joy than to give. Okay, and what about your life? What are the areas in your life where God is challenging you? What would happen if you began to embrace those challenges, not as criticism, not as a legalistic, another thing to do to check off the list to please the Lord? What if you embraced it as an opportunity to experience more joy? To experience the joy of being used by the Lord. How contagious would your faith be? How contagious would your relationship with God be if your family and your friends and your coworkers saw how much you enjoyed walking with God? How much easier would it be to share your faith with someone if it was something that you were genuinely excited about all the time? You know? What kind of impact would you make on this world if every challenge you received you viewed as another opportunity to experience joy? And what if we all saw that? What if we all thought like that as a church? What if we all saw every single challenge to grow as an opportunity to experience joy? What kind of difference would we make in our community if all of us were thinking like that? What could we accomplish together? All right. So remember, growing is supposed to be rewarding. Can you say that with me? Growing is supposed to be rewarding. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us another piece of wisdom in how to experience joy. Lord, when you challenge us to grow, sometimes we get flashbacks of conversations in our past when people made us feel so bad for where we were in life and who we were and our faults and mistakes. But Lord, you've shared with us in your word that when you challenge us to grow, when you prune us through your word, that you are giving us an opportunity to experience more joy. You want us to have joy. You don't want us walking around with a frown. You don't want us walking around feeling sorry for ourselves. You want us to experience joy. And so I'm praying for my brother, my sister, who's feeling your challenge in a certain area through your word, that they would embrace that challenge, not as criticism, not as a legalistic checklist, but as an opportunity to experience joy. I pray that every person here today would experience the joy of growth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We're going to our time of reflection. I invite you to take a look at the back of your connection card as you consider what your next step will be to apply what you've heard today. Amen. So we can be doers of the word. Amen. Amen.